Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Well, it's May, and in college football, that means there's a lot of numbers out there. Recruiting-wise, how did this team do? How did this team do? I'm Tanner Schwint, Brian Gary. How did we do? I think we're doing okay so far, 2 weeks in.
Oh, I'm telling you, this is just so much fun, man. I am loving it. And yeah, I think we're doing just fine, man. But we're not the judges.
No, we're not. Live from the Allo Communications Studios, joining us on the hotline, it is Kevin Lytle with the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. I mean, if I can chime in on the rankings there, you know, Brian's doing good. Tanner, we appreciate your effort.
God bless you, Kevin. You know, not many people.
Why do I line this interview up?
It's because you need to hear these things, Tanner. Kevin, thank you. I appreciate that, and we'll work on getting Tanner up to snuff, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's nice to give the kid a try, see what he can do. But
God. Is this because I said soccer's the most boring sport out there? Is this where this hate and vitriol is coming from?
Tanner, I just have to keep you on your toes. You know, the listeners would get concerned if you and I were just all friendly all the time.
Yeah, that's a strong point.
Kevin and I are really. I want the listeners. I would consider us really good friends. I don't know if he would, based on what he's saying. Probably not. But we're developing this beef over different takes that I've had, and it's just kind of flowing over. I don't think we've resolved it yet, but we'll get there, Kevin. At least I'm confident in that.
I'm calling for a steel cage, man. I want to see you two throw down.
Kevin, you did a story in the Coloradoan about the CSU recruiting rankings. Where did Jay Norvell come out at?
Yeah, so, you know, that class, his first class, is basically put together. They still have a little bit of tinkering they can do, but for the most part, it's put together. They just landed about a week ago DeAndre Gill, a former UCLA commit. Flipped to CSU. He's a sort of a defensive end. And so he is kind of the final big recruit. So, yeah, CSU is third in the recruiting rankings in the Mountain West, which is a pretty good spot to be, especially you consider Jay Norvell was hired, like, I think it was 11 days maybe before the first signing day in December. So not much time to work. So it's one of those, you know, recruiting rankings are interesting. I think, you know, individually each player – you know, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. You know, the CSU example everyone at the school always uses is Weston Richburg was a two-star, and, you know, he went on to have like an eight-year NFL career. But collectively, if you look across, you know, if you go pull up rankings from every conference, the teams at the top are going to be the teams that pretty much are winning those leagues and win a bunch of games. So it does matter some, kind of like I put in the piece, you can find some hidden gems. You know, a couple guys a class that maybe aren't, you know, highly touted recruits, but you can't have a class full of them. Generally, you're going to have some guys that other schools also think are good. You know, it's one of those, if you think you're smarter than everyone else on every single kid you're recruiting, you're probably wrong.
I have a question that I'm curious, because sometimes I'm the dummy in the room, and I'm okay with that, Kevin, but I'm wondering, as you talk about recruiting classes and being ranked and so forth, when you figure out the, you know, a grade for recruiting for a school, does that now include people who have been brought over through the transfer portal as well, or is it just new prospects?
Yeah, so there's kind of a couple different types of ranking, I guess, if you will, or different levels. So yeah, I kind of broke it down mostly by the high school, just because that's a little more defined, whereas the transfers, yeah, it's sort of a different world. But kind of, if you include everyone, most sites have CSU as third in the Mountain West as well, if you include transfers. But it is a little different, you know, because you get, you know, you can have a guy that was a low-ranked recruit out of high school, but then after 2 years of being a star in college would be a whole different level guy. So yeah, all the transfers definitely makes things a little different, and certainly CSU was transfer heavy in this class. So it does alter things, although, like I say, most of the rankings actually comes out pretty comparable, whether you're looking at just high school or just transfer. But that is a sort of a whole different level of, I guess, analysis when guys are, you know, going college to college.
What about the difference on the sides of the ball? Did the offensive recruiting class come out higher than defense?
So So what was interesting, you know, they have a little more on that side, but of CSU's top five, you know, best-ranked recruits in this class out of high school, three of them are defensive.
This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's a shame we have no fun in here.
No, none at all.
Welcome back to Good Morning NoCo on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. I'm Brian Carey along with Tanner Schwint. We are your hosts. Week number two of our brand new show, and I'm just so excited about this. I have had a blast since we kicked this off last week. The response has been wonderful going around in downtown and visiting with some of our great sponsors and meeting other people. I just want to grow this family, and I'm just so happy to be right here back in morning radio and with Tanner. As soon as we met, I knew someday this was going to happen. Now it did, and I think everybody's sorry.
It's one of two ways, and this is what we told
so much fun, though, buddy.
Brady Hull, our GM. It was either going to be the greatest thing he ever did, or he was going to be run out of town for it.
He's still here so far.
He is. We're week two, and he's still here, but we've got some fun news stories to get to here.
No, we definitely do, and let me lead with this one,
yeah,
and
do
we'll
it.
Dive into that.
Absolutely.
This was one of those bizarre stories, and I think we've all heard about this happening or, you know, dreamed of it. Mourners attending a Peruvian woman's funeral were stunned when they started hearing. I know that sounds like the beginning of every joke, right?
So right. Peruvian
funeral's going on, and all of a sudden they hear banging coming from inside the casket. Yep. Rosa Calica, 36 years old, had been in a car accident that killed a family member, and doctors thought her as well. But when the lid was open, the attendees at the funeral were shocked to see Rosa staring back at them. She opened her eyes and was sweating, said the caretaker. She was rushed to a nearby hospital where she died 4 hours later. So
that was not the happy ending.
That wasn't
I was
the happy ending I was looking for either. I get to the end and go, well, that's really tragic.
Well, now they got to dig the hole.
Exactly. We filled it in, dig it. Make up your mind. My goodness.
So it doesn't say a whole lot for the Peruvian healthcare system. I'll just say that. And it reminds me of, you know, in the olden days when they ended up having to put bells in there. Do you remember that? Where they were burying so many people who were still alive, they'd open up the caskets later on and there were scratch marks because they were still alive in there. And so they started putting the bell on there so that if they did mess up and bury someone alive, they could ring the bell and whoever was guarding whoever was guarding the cemetery would hear that bell and they would know, okay, we need to dig this up. This person's still alive.
You know, that's a shame that actually became a thing, which tells you that this happens so often. We got to put bells in there.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
I think this was probably before the invention of penicillin, I would just guess. I mean, that's, but you haven't heard, I haven't heard this news story in a while. So that is a big fear of mine. Like, just make sure I'm dead,
make
please.
Make sure I'm gone. Yeah. Absolutely. Wave some bacon under my face. And if there's no reaction, I'm gone. Start throwing the dirt on. But it reminds me of one of my favorite Alfred Hitchcock episodes years ago. There was somebody who was in jail and they had made a deal with the person, the caretaker, who would take the bodies out that had died and bury them. And they had said, look, tonight I'm going to be in the casket after, you know, somebody had died. I'm going to climb in the casket with them. And then you're going to go and bury me, you know, wheel me out there and then let me out. You know, they had made this deal. Well, the person goes in, they get in the coffin, they're laying there, and they're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and they're starting to lose oxygen, and she had a match and lit it, and the person she was laying on was the caretaker who was supposed to come and dig her out. Yeah, that one gets me every time. It really does.
So did she get out?
I don't know. Anyway.
good. Yeah, I love that.
Moving on to other things. So we mentioned earlier that the Twitter deal.
It is on hold right now for Elon Musk until the CEO can prove the bot count. Right?
Yeah.
Which, that in and of itself, I'm not smart enough to dive into.
Okay? No.
I don't know how. I mean, people out there just program Twitters now to say stuff, I guess, Twitter accounts. But we may have a new front runner to buy Twitter, and that is none other than Snoop D-O-double-G, Snoop Dogg.
He has that kind of money.
I don't know. Does he?
I don't know.
Well, can you look up Snoop Dogg's net worth for me, please, Angel? But he just tweeted out, this is, and we're bickering over this. And Snoop Dogg just tweeted out, may have to buy Twitter now with the number two. May have to buy Twitter now. Like,
that's
no press release, just may have to buy Twitter with the number two.
Because Elon possibly on hold, so now Snoop Dogg has come up. And will he initiate some changes if he were to take over?
Yeah, going to replace the board of directors with Jimmy from the Corner Fish Fry, Tommy Chung, and the guy with the ponytail on CNBC. So very, very explicit with what he wants to say. So now I'm going to have to edit some of these tweets because there are some curse words that come into it.
Yes.
First line of business, free internet on airplanes. $29 for 1 hour is BS.
Just went through that.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone gets a blue check mark, even the THA bots with 10 letters in their name that hit you in DMs and just say, hello, nah, F those bots.
Yeah.
Very strong about that one. And it was hashtag when Snoop buys Twitter, Elon Musk responded with the fire emojis, like the flame emojis as a lot of people use for cool takes, I guess, now. And Snoop Dogg responded back with, you bring the fire, I'll bring the smoke. In typical Snoop
response.
Fashion.
Yeah, it is. You know, Elon Musk is one of the weirdest dudes I have ever seen.
So
in my
strange.
Life. So strange, and that he's got all this money and so forth. But honestly, the dude has no personality whatsoever.
Did you watch his SNL?
I did, but he was surprisingly good at
right.
it. You know, that's what was creepy to me because I thought, oh, this guy's going to be awful. Yet he knocked it out of the park when he was hosting that thing.
But can you imagine, you're working away, you're slaving in a Tesla factory, and all of a sudden you go home and turn on the TV and your boss is on there because he was dressed like...
Wario.
Yes. He's dressed like Wario. He's like, he's dressed as a Nintendo character on a fake trial. Like, could you imagine seeing your boss like that? It's going to go one of two ways. You're going to be like, this is BS, I need a new job. Or it's going to be like, I'm going to work harder on Monday. I like this guy.
Or you're going to think Snoop slipped me something because I'm seeing this.
What is Snoop's net worth? What did you find, Angel?
So as of May 2022, he is worth $150 million.
That's not anywhere close to buy Twitter.
But that's a lot of smoke he had to sell to get that much money.
But he's on, him and Shaq are on every commercial.
And look at how many TV shows he's been on. Who, when he first hit, said to themselves, someday he's going to be with Martha Stewart during a show.
That's the weirdest pairing ever.
He's going to be hosting talent contests, that he's going to be doing play-by-play for combat sports, you know, and things like that. You would have never imagined. But what a brilliant job he has done at creating money flow.
Oh, it's been incredible. By the way, Shaq's net worth is $400 million. And, you know, he owns the Papa John's. He's got Papa John's locations everywhere. He's on the General Insurance car ads. There's another. I can't remember.
He's on tons of them.
Just everything. And but these are the type of guys that... It's interesting watching how our society is unfolding in front of us because people used to run this country and that not for the money in it. But now we're having enough people with enough money that they're like, you know what? I might just make myself king of the world. And it's just an interesting development. Hell, we saw it with Trump. I mean, he had just so much money. He had done everything else. Why not just go try and be president? And there's just more and more of that going on.
No, there's like 20 to 30 people who have all the money, and the rest of us are trying to get our hands on some.
Yeah.
You know really
Jeff
Bezos.
Okay, who's weirder? And maybe this is a poll question we need to run. Who's weirder, Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk?
You know, it's a room I don't want to go into to start with, but, you know, boy, I was about to say Elon, but he gives him some strong competition.
Bezos is just
strange in different
weird.
Ways.
I at least like that we see the human side of Elon every once in a while. Like, Bezos is just a robot.
They're both bots. They would
Zuckerberg.
Not pass that test.
You got to throw Zuckerberg in there, too.
That's another weirdo. Again,
he's the weirdest one, I think. I think Mark Zuckerberg is the weirdest one out there.
Who is of sound mind and body that's got money now?
Silence fell across the room.
Yeah, it did.
I don't know.
I I'm sure if I look through the list, we'll find some that, you know,
Mark Cuban?
There.
No?
He's got a lot of money, but he's kind of a jerk sometimes,
yeah.
too, you know? I don't know. I guess I'm just frustrated because I'm broke. You know, I think...
I got news for you, buddy. It's radio. I just, I think you've been in this.
Right now. It doesn't matter. I'm not in the top 20. We're all in this boat. We're going to need a bigger boat.
We are.
Yeah, we are.
Yes, we are. Angel, who's weirder between the three? Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, or Elon Musk?
I'm going to say Zuckerberg.
Yes.
That dude is a lizard or a robot or something.
He's one of those people who run the world.
He is.
He's in that underground society. They've got that little thing under DIA where they build all their birds that are not real and send them out there.
Is that what they do at DIA?
That is, underneath there.
That's where they go and they recharge Zuckerberg there.
Yes, you got to plug him in.
He's the most violently Caucasian person on the planet.
That dude
cannot get a tan. There is no way. I think he repels the sun. But yeah.
Yeah, he's weird. Okay, now this is just taking me down another train of thought too. DIA and the conspiracy theories behind it. Does it not bug you just a little bit that they're going all in on it? Like that they're even making jokes about it now. There's murals up making fun of it, and that just it's like maybe they're hiding in plain sight. And I need to not stop hanging out with Snoop.
817. Good pun to throw in there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you're flying this morning, buddy.
817 the time. Good morning, Noka. I want to say thanks to Method Flow Products out of Eaton. Big supporters of the oil and gas industry. But they want it done in a safe and responsible manner. That's why they produce their top-of-the-line equipment used in the oil field to make sure that the people out there doing it, first of all, their safety is of imperative importance, but also how they do it, you know, and the damages that can be done when it's used the wrong way. They don't want any of that happening. It's Method Flow Products in Eaton. 818 the time. More Good Morning NoCo when we come back on Northern Condo's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Tracy Axon, FMS Bank, joining us now. Good morning, Miss Tracy.
Good morning, Mr. Tanner. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Hey, don't forget me. Good morning.
Oh yeah,
oh,
Brian's
hey,
back.
Brian, you never talk. I never hear you talk. Brian. I don't know.
We're gonna do a mock one right here. Brian's gonna take this interview. Tracy, you ready for this?
All right, Brian. Let me have it.
All right, Tracy. What the hell's going on?
With what? Give me a subject.
General, Tracy. I'm a confused man.
It is dang dry, and I'm sick of it. And we need some moisture. And I'm standing in front of my windows at my office, and the grass is dying. And I don't know. It's just frustrating.
You know, that's going to affect the property values. And how are those looking right now?
Can't tell me you didn't nail it.
That was good.
Buckle up. Hey. We're going to experience some turbulence here.
Yeah. Actually, what did I hear last night going home? I heard that 2-year average 30% appreciation across the nation in home prices. So, and the reason is because everybody says, well, why is our inventory so low? It's because for 10 years after the bubble burst back in 2007, we didn't build any houses. We didn't plan to build any houses in this nation for over 10 years. So, you know, when you're thinking about a new subdivision, new development, that takes time. That is probably a good 10-year period from the time you think, okay, I'm going to take the North 40 pasture over here and I'm going to turn it into a subdivision. There's about 10 years worth of planning there before you actually build a house.
Well, and with that appreciation rates, are we seeing people, you know, sell and move to a different state, Tracy?
Well, that's across the nation.
Oh, it's everywhere.
It's not everywhere, but, you know, there's some. But you have to go someplace where there's a job. But you know what the interesting trend is that we're hearing is that, of course, because of COVID, you know, everybody, all these companies learned how to have their workers be remote. And so now you're hearing about these big companies. Airbnb was talking the other day about how they're allowing their people to move wherever they want to and still paying them the same wage that they were paying them in the Bay Area.
Yeah,
so they're going across the nation to these little towns. And I'm hoping that this is the start of the revitalization of small town America. I think that's a great idea.
That'd be a great thing.
Yes, it would, Tracy. If you want more of this information and more, Tracy, what's the number to call?
You can reach me at 970-673-4501.
All right, Tracy Axon, FMS Banks. Thanks so much
Tracy.
For your time.
Thanks. Great. Good job, Brian.
Thank you so much.
More Good Morning NoCo next. The people of Twitter have, they're speaking loud and clear right now.
That's a new planet, by the way, the people of Twitter. That's strange.
78% of them say that they love roundabouts, Brian.
78% on Twitter 78. Love them?
And Facebook just hates everybody else out there. I like roundabouts, but the people don't know how to drive them.
That's what I'm just looking at the latest. Love them when others know how to use them. Not crazy about them. Long as people pay attention. Almost need a class on how to properly use them.
That's just driving in general.
Well, people are confused by merges. You know, you'll get on a place where nobody realizes, look, you take this lane and you keep going and you just zip in.
You're right.
That's a zipper merge.
But, I mean, we've heard from, you know, 60, 70 people today that have said, yeah, well, they're good, except for we don't know. You're telling me that out of those 60 or 70 people, not 10 of them are the issue? Look, statistically speaking, I don't mean to go after our listeners, but statistically speaking, that's easy for me to say. Some of them have to be the problem.
Here's where you get it wrong, Tanner. All right? People who listen to this show get it. All right?
Okay.
They are the upper crust. They're the more intelligent. We don't fall into the missteps of society. We know what's right and wrong and how to properly do things. So all the idiots who don't know how to use roundabouts are those dummies who don't listen to Good Morning NoCo.
You're not our that guy, audience, no, trust me.
Yeah, you're not that guy.
Our audience has what it takes
all right
to get through roundabouts. So thank you
yes.
for chiming in. I believe in you.
Yeah, I apologize. It's just that I'm kind of the guy every once in a while. I mean, there's simple tasks that I get confused by, okay?
Yeah.
That's all it is. Robin chiming in and saying, no one knows what to do or where to go. They are ridiculous. So, but I like this little bit from Robin because she didn't point the finger. She said no one. She included herself in that.
Okay.
Presentation. No. I like that. All right, Robin.
I'm with you on that.
Just talking about presentation, why don't you present a sponsor to us here?
Yeah, absolutely. Benchmark Medical Group has been a part of my radio family for years. One of the first ones to support me when I came to KFKA and jumped right on with Good Morning NoCo as well. Dr. Sandy and her staff out there are just fantastic. They can make a big difference in your life, lead you to better nutrition, lead you to better health, and just teach you ways to improve your life. I've never felt better since they've come into my life. Let them come into yours. You can text them or give them a call today, 970-686-9117. Check them out online at benchmarkmedicalgroup.com. But Benchmark Medical Group, thank you for being a part of the show.
Good morning, NoCo right here, presented by Air Solutions on Northern Colorado's Voice. We'll be back on the other side. It's an 80s Tuesday. Let's keep it going, Northern Colorado. Well, it's May, and in college football, that means there's a lot of numbers out there. Recruiting-wise, how did this team do? How did this team do? I'm Tanner Schwint, Brian Gary. How did we do? I think we're doing okay so far, 2 weeks in.
Oh, I'm telling you, this is just so much fun, man. I am loving it. And yeah, I think we're doing just fine, man.
Look,
we're not the judges.
No, we're not. Live from the Allo Communications Studios, joining us on the hotline, it is Kevin Lytle with the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. I mean, if I can chime in on the rankings there, you know, Brian's doing good. Tanner, you know, we appreciate your effort.
God bless you, Kevin. You know, not many
people. Why do I line this interview up?
It's because you need to hear these things, Tanner. Kevin, thank you. I appreciate that, and we'll work on getting Tanner up to snuff, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's nice to give the kid a try, see what he can do. But
God. Is this because I said soccer's the most boring sport out there? Is this where this hate and vitriol is coming from?
Tanner, I just have to keep you on your toes. You know, the listeners would get concerned if you and I were just all friendly all the time.
Yeah, that's a strong point.
Kevin and I really. I want the listeners. I would consider us really good friends. I don't know if he would, based on what he's saying. Probably not. But we're developing this beef over different takes that I've had, and it's just kind of flowing over. I don't think we've resolved it yet, but we'll get there, Kevin. At least I'm confident in that.
I'm calling for a steel cage match. I want to see you two throw down.
Kevin, you did a story in the Coloradoan about the CSU recruiting rankings. Where did Jay Norvell come out at?
Yeah, so, you know, that class, his first class, is basically put together. They still have a little bit of tinkering they can do, but for the most part, it's put together. They just landed about a week ago DeAndre Gill, a former UCLA commit, flipped to CSU. He's a sort of a defensive end. And so he is kind of the final big recruit. So, yeah, CSU is third in the recruiting rankings in the Mountain West, which is a pretty good spot to be, especially you consider Jay Norvell was hired, like, I think it was 11 days maybe before the first signing day in December. So not much time to work. So it's one of those, you know, recruiting rankings are interesting. I think, you know, individually each player, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. You know, the CSU example everyone at the school always uses is Weston Richburg was a two-star, and you know, he went on to have like an eight-year NFL career. But collectively, if you look across, you know, if you go pull up rankings from every conference, the teams at the top are going to be the teams that pretty much are winning those leagues and win a bunch of games. So it does matter some, kind of like I put in the piece, you can find some hidden gems. You know, a couple guys a class that maybe aren't, you know, highly touted recruits, but you can't have a class full of them. Generally, you're going to have some guys that other schools also think are good. You know, it's one of those, if you think you're smarter than everyone else on every single kid you're recruiting, you're probably wrong.
I have a question that I'm curious because sometimes I'm the dummy in the room, and I'm okay with that, Kevin, but I'm wondering, as you talk about recruiting classes and being ranked and so forth, when you figure out the, you know, a grade for recruiting for a school, does that now include people who have been brought over through the transfer portal as well, or is it just new prospects?
Yeah, so there's kind of a couple different types of ranking, I guess, if you will, or different levels. So yeah, I kind of broke it down mostly by the high school just because that's a little more defined, whereas the transfers, yeah, it's sort of a different world. But kind of, if you include everyone, most sites have CSU as third in the Mountain West as well if you include transfers, but it is a little different, you know, because you get, you know, you can have a guy that was a low ranked recruit out of high school, but then after 2 years of being a star in college would be a whole different level guy. So yeah, all the transfers definitely makes things a little different, and certainly CSU was transfer heavy in this class. So it does alter things, although, like I say, most of the rankings actually comes out pretty comparable, whether you're looking at just high school or just transfer. But that is a sort of a whole different level of, analysis when it's guys that are, you know, going college to college.
What about the difference on the sides of the ball? Did the offensive recruiting class come out higher than defense?
So what was interesting, you know, they have a little more on that side, but of CSU's top five, you know, best-ranked recruits in this class out of high school, three of them are defensive players, which I think most people probably don't realize because, like you say, obviously the air raid, you know, is sort of the attraction and the thing everyone's talking about, but CSU landed some very high-ranked defensive players in this class. So I think that, again, this is an early snapshot. One class, you know, doesn't teach you a full lesson, but it gives you a little glimpse at what could come with Jay Norvell. So the fact that they landed several really, you know, highly touted defensive players, I think, has to be a good sign.
I don't know that we've been more excited for a season coming up that we are this year for a long time. The change in the coaching staff, but just the change in the attitude, and even as fans talk about it, you hear a different energy in every vibe that you get from people discussing the CSU Rams.
Yeah, you're spot on. I was thinking about that the other day. I mean, the last couple of years, it's been pretty drab. You know, last year, I think some people had maybe been able to talk themselves into, well, you know, if this and this and this go right, you know, we could win 7 or 8 games. I think even most of those people, you know, maybe subconsciously, you know, kind of knew that wasn't realistic. You know, the 2 or 3 years before that, everyone knew things were not great. really it's been, you know, 2017 was the last season that had a lot of energy, and part of that was just because the stadium was opening. So, yeah, it's been a while, I think, since people have been excited, this excited for a season. And it's funny because I don't think anyone expects this team to go win 10 games or anything, but just the direction it seems to be going, I think, has people excited. And all they really want to see this season, I think, is just some tangible signs of growth, knowing that, you know, if they keep moving this direction, it could get really good.
Well, more than two or three wins and a coach that is willing to talk to the media, I think, would have been a complete win for CSU. And they got that with Jay Norvell. Kevin, let's switch gears here. I know you're also following along with the high school playoffs as they wrap up, you know, this spring season. What's going on in Fort Collins? What are a couple teams to watch as, you know, soccer and baseball get underway for playoffs?
Yeah, soccer-wise, Alex should be out in Windsor tonight. The Windsor girls soccer team, number one in 4A, they're in the quarters. And they got kind of a fortunate draw, if you will. 24-seed Air Academy has pulled some upsets, and they'll play Windsor tonight. So Windsor hasn't lost to a 4A team this year, so they're really rolling. I expect them to win tonight to go to the Final Four. Baseball, Fossil Ridge over here in Fort Collins in 5A is right on the cusp of being a host for regionals, which would be huge for them. They've already set a school record for wins in a season. Hosting, obviously, it would be the first time they've hosted in 5A if they do get that. So really, the best season they've ever had. Chris Malamog taking over that team first year, and he's really got them going. And obviously, Rocky Mountain, they're right on that cusp of hosting as well. And they're, you know, the traditional powerhouse in Fort Collins. So excited to get to baseball and then state track this week, which, you know, generally Fort Collins, we have at least 10 individual champs a year. I would expect that to happen again this year. So the track athletes in this city are always pretty incredible.
No, it's going to be a lot of fun as we wrap up the sports season on the high school level. Kevin, the Avalanche go tonight, 7:30. I've called for a sweep. Brian's got the Avs in five. Where are you sitting at?
I would say probably Avs and six would be my best guess.
All right,
the Blues can score. They're a good hockey team.
Yeah, they're a good team, and you know they have a lot of guys that were on, you know, that won a Stanley Cup with them, and Binnington is playing well. So I think they're dangerous. I think it's going to be a really tough series.
Now, well, we're going to be looking forward to that, Kevin. Again, 7:30 tonight. Kevin, where can people follow along and see the great work you do?
Yeah, I'm at Kevin_Lytle on Twitter, and coloradoin.com is our website.
All right. Are we good? Do we need couples therapy?
We'll hash it out over a round of golf sometime this summer.
All right. You're going down. I'm just telling you. The last time I golfed, I hit the first two into the lake. So you're going down for sure. A lot of confidence.
We can play as three, and I'll kick both of your butts.
Okay.
How about that?
All right.
No, I was kidding about that, Kevin.
No.
I was just talking smack to Tanner.
Don't worry, my golf game is very subpar, so I'm never offended by someone saying they can beat me at golf, because it's probably true.
Mine is sub-double bogey, so you're doing better than me.
That's right. Kevin Lytle with the Fort Collins, Colorado. Kevin, appreciate your time as always, my man.
Thanks, fellas. Good talking to you.
Thanks. That's Kevin Lytle there with the Fort Collins, Colorado on 850 The Time. We'll come back on the other side, wrap up this edition of Good Morning NOCO, presented by our buddy Dusty Rhodes over at Air Solutions, yeah, right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Wrapping up an 80s Tuesday here on Good Morning NOCO. I'm Tanner Schwimp, my guy Brian Gary joining me this morning.
Got my spandex and my headband on. This is going to be fun. We're going to jazzercise later,
just
too.
Be happy that you guys are not in the studio with the way that he looks with spandex on. Let's take one last look here at our Happy Life Gardens poll question. Roundabouts, love them or hate them. Poppy is very passionate about this.
Oh.
Please. Most people don't know how to use them, especially in Colorado. Never be 12 cars waiting in line to access it. Colorado, they know how to blow through a red light, but traffic circle is too confusing. Oi. That's the start of a AC/DC song.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it is. A little TNT.
Yeah.
Oi, oi. Let's see. Craig said they're better than stoplights, but some people need to know how to drive them. I've seen more people stop in the middle to let the yielding car go, almost causing an accident. So in short, we in NoCo will get through NoCo in a roundabout way.
Very punny. Very, very punny.
Nice job.
All right. Let's get to the headline that caught our eye.
Spanning the globe.
Reward offered for the return of a 125-pound polar bear statue.
Reward offered for a 125-pound polar bear statue. Where was this statue abducted from?
So it says from a Nancy Allen in London. She said the concrete polar bear has adorned her garden for more than 30 years. And she just doesn't understand why someone would steal it.
These people are the worst type of people. Like, there's no reason
the thieves
for this.
Or the gardener?
The thieves.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. I was
like, no, what did Nancy not, do?
No, I am backing Nancy right here because there is no profit from stealing a 125-pound polar bear. I would have to assume that these were a couple of drunken lads who just left the pub. It just is so insane to me that they're like, you know what we should do today? Let's get drunk and steal a 125-pound polar bear. Like, this is probably a little old woman somewhere that this was her prized possession. Oh, did you do this?
Well, she was quoted with saying the thieves put in extra effort because they did bring a dolly out because there were tracks on the front lawn. Because, you know, it's a heavy statue. So someone was obviously working to get this.
I think I'm flipping sides now. Nancy, if they took in the time to put a dolly together and go and get it, Nancy, that's on you. You got to have a better security system.
You need to get hooked up with Dusty and
his
thermostat with the security system.
That's right. Did you steal a statue, though? Your face looked like you have.
Look, this is something that I would have done. And
has the statute of limitations gone away from this?
It has.
Okay.
There was one time we tore the head off of one of the big boys, those big boy restaurants.
Why?
I don't know. He went headless for a while, and people were wondering what happened. And if you were around that town I'm speaking of, and
I don't.
My friend Bob.
Why? Right. Why though? Like, why?
I have nothing. I cannot plead my case. If the attorneys were in here, they would take me out and lock me up right now.
Yeah, I think so. I just, like...
No, I was a bad, dumb kid.
Okay. There you go.
That's what it came down to. I was a
shame
bad, dumb
on
kid.
You, Brian.
I was awful for 17 years, and I spent the rest of my life trying to make up for it.
I just don't understand criminals who do stuff like that. You are a crime. I'm hosting a show with a criminal.
Yes, you are.
Not convicted yet.
They're going to be waiting for me when I get off the air.
Yeah. Do you want me to give you Havilah's number?
I'm going to go out there and find a couple of big boys waiting for me. That's
Damon chiming in here saying no bear should be in captivity.
Amen to
there
that.
You go.
There you go. No, don't steal polar bears. Don't poach them. And I don't care if they're in a garden. Don't take people's stuff. If you come and steal my bird bath or anything, I'm going to track you down and beat the hell out of you. So we'll go and help this one.
That's Brian at 1310KFK.com. tomorrow, we've got a fun show lined up for you. We will have our friends at the Greeley Mob Mixer that we stopped by last week. They're going to jump in just to talk a little bit about what they're doing. It's a really fun free networking event for small businesses to go to. We'll have a cattle market update as well. A lot to get to tomorrow. Been a fun show, Brian. Welcome back. So glad to have you back in the studios.
Great to be here, man. And the fun keeps continuing. Spread the word. Let everyone know about Good Morning NoCo. We'll be back at it tomorrow.
Yes, we will. Writer Than You coming up next for the sports audience out there. Then 11 to 12, it is Clark and the Coach. 12 to 2 today, you've got the whole show with Brady Hole. We've got Rockies coming your way starting at 6 o'clock tonight. For Brian Gary, for Angel Padilla, I am Tanner Schwint. This has been Good Morning NoCo, presented by Air Solutions, right here and only right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.